Well, shall we stand?
That's okay.
Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Dear Lord, shine on me, oh Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to put everything aside, our thoughts, our imaginations. We ask the Lord you help us to have them all submit to the leadership of the Spirit. Forgive us our sins, O Lord, in all areas where, Lord, we've fallen short of what you desire of us. As we now turn the pages of the sacred scriptures, have mercy on us, Lord, and give us the grace to be able to receive the impartation of the life of the Word of God. And we do not just want this to be a moment of increasing knowledge, but we desire for life to be imparted in us, that we may be given the ability to walk in the grace of God. We are so thankful, Lord. I pray for the interpreter. I pray for everyone. May you, O Lord, bless us. From the speaker down to the usher listening, grant us your blessing, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now let us read Psalm 77. We shall continue where we ended with a thought we started on yesterday. But our focus will be on battle for the mind. Like we read yesterday in Psalm chapter 77, verse 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Now let us all read together verse 20. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now let us go to Jeremiah while we are still standing. Jeremiah 31 verse 32. So in Psalm we have read the words, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses. Now we know it was not physically the hand of Moses. It is simply because Moses' hand was completely surrendered to God. So it was actually the hand of God through Moses. That was a wonderful testimony to have a people led by God. Pharaoh couldn't do that. The waters killed them instead. But the Israelites were saved. But let us read further about these people who had the privilege to be led by the hand of God. Were they worthy of the calling God gave them? Let's see what they did with that grace. We see God making a promise in Jeremiah 31, verse 32. Verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Is my phone there? Do I have my phone there? Okay, it's all right. Yes. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Now notice what God says, in the day that I took them by the hand. That was through the hand of Moses. But we see a negative testimony here. God says, although I led them by the hand, they broke my covenant. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. We may be seated. So here we can see, these are a people who were able to see the way of the Lord on the sea. But the question before us this morning is, how did they walk with the Lord in that journey? As we see in Jeremiah, God wasn't so happy with their life. We learn something there. It takes the grace of God to walk in that way. We cannot just be satisfied that the grace of God is upon us and those Egyptians are being killed. God has delivered us from Egypt. That is good. That is wonderful. But it's not just about being delivered. It's about sustaining our walk in that way of grace. So yesterday, we looked at those children of Israel. We had also looked at Peter, how he walked on water. So let us also look at Peter. We also saw his testimony that he walked on water. But how does his testimony continue also? We know that he made a few steps, and then the next step, he sank. Again, we see, it is not enough to just rejoice for being able to walk through the footpaths of the Lord on the sea. Something can come our way to disturb us. So we want to talk about that this morning. How we can have a testimony that is sustained. Grace is one thing, but Apostle Paul admonishes us to be strong in the grace. So let us read 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, and I want us all to read it. If you have a voice, and it is working, and you know how to read, let us read together. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
So that's quite an interesting combination of words. Because many times we can misunderstand grace. But here we see grace also involves being strong. Let us read Joshua 1 verse 3. We see an instance in which God has given grace, but He still tells you to be strong in that grace. So Joshua 1, verse 3. Shall we read? Every place. What? How many places?
Every.
How many places?
Every.
Every place. That was God's promise to Joshua. Let's read it. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What a promise! What a guarantee! That every place, not I'll give you, no. It's not in the future tense that I will give you. No. What does he say? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, have I given unto you.
Hallelujah.
What God promises is a done deal. The devil can't do anything about it. That's wonderful, isn't it? But hear this. In verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, let's read all together. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A promise has been given.
Yes.
A guarantee provided.
Yes.
But it comes with the words, be strong. Praise the Lord. Be strong. So now we see something here. Let us go to chapter 7 of Joshua. This is a man who was given the guarantee of God's blessings. Every place, including Achan, the land of Ai. Including the land of Ai. Was included in that. But let's see what happened. Joshua 7. Verse 2. And Joshua, now who is this Joshua?
Joshua,
the man who is from receiving the promise of God,
yes,
that I have given you every place.
Yes.
But let's see how it unfolds. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai,
yes,
which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel,
mm-hmm,
and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, now, look at the relaxation they had.
Yes.
Look at how comfortable they were.
Yes.
And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up,
yeah,
but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai,
yes,
and make not all the people to labor,
yeah,
thither, for they are but few.
Yes.
They are what?
Few.
There are few.
Yes.
But you see, their security was not about how few or how many. It was not about the size of the population. It was about a covenant God had with these people. When you read verse 5, and the men of Ai smote Of them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sheba.
Hey.
Oh my, a tragedy happens. The people they had underrated,
yes,
smote them. Oh, what had happened to God's guarantee? You see, they got so relaxed.
Yes.
They fell into a familiarity trap. No, it's just a few numbers. It's just a small number. Now, you can replace that small number by we've won many battles.
Yes.
But it's not about how many battles you've won. It's not even about how long we've been in the message, you know? Or how long I've walked with the Lord. Yesterday's testimony can never compensate for your recklessness of today. So this thing disturbed Joshua. What has happened? He went before the Lord. Putting sackcloth,
yes,
pouring dust on himself.
Yes.
Says, Lord, what has happened?
Yes.
What did God tell him?
Yes.
What are you doing there on the ground?
Yes.
Stand up, Joshua.
Yes.
Can't you see there is sin in your camp?
Yes.
Let us read verse 10.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, yes, get thee up.
Amen.
Wherefore layest thou dust upon thy face?
Yes.
Now, I mean, God knew Joshua is praying. But look how God doesn't call that prayer. God makes light of it. He says, what are you doing there? I mean, he's praying, he's fasting. But God says, what are you doing there? In other words, in the eyes of God, prayer in that moment became vanity. And in verse 11, Israel have sinned.
Amen.
And they have also transgressed my covenant.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Amen.
There was sin in the camp.
Amen.
The grace of God, the word of God was still true.
Yes. Yes.
But something wrong had happened.
Amen.
We see that even in the grace of God, we need to stand.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
We don't bring in carelessness in the grace of God. One day, one of our brothers said, brothers, I'm having a long journey to the copper belt, north of Zambia. Pray with me. So we prayed together. Lord, bless and protect our brother. This brother is a fan of vehicles. He's also a fan of speed. So as he was driving, he went up to how many kilometers? Yeah. He was driving at 180. And even at that speed, he had time to take his phone and capture the speedometer. As though that wasn't enough, he had time to post it in the WhatsApp group. He said, brethren, that's the speed I'm driving at. And I quickly replied. I said, praise the Lord. God takes care of us. But he does not take care of carelessness. Let that sink in real deep. Let's go to Exodus 24. We see another sad testimony. Of how someone was given grace, but they didn't stand strong in that grace. Exodus 24, verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Now look here, saints. How would you feel if some high dignitary called you by name? Or the president or someone? Well, you feel, well, I'm known. Right?
Yes.
And here God tells Moses to come. And he spells out certain names.
Yes.
I want you to come with Nadab. I want you to come with Abihu. When this young man obviously heard about this testimony, I mean, you feel good. God knows me. Right? It's wonderful. If Nadab and Abihu was living today, and if this was recorded on the tape, they, wherever they go, mention it that my name was mentioned on the tape. The prophet mentioned my name. I was that name. Right? Because some people, simply the prophet mentioning the name on their tape, they felt that was ordination to a ministry. You know, I hunted with a prophet. And people would rather hear that testimony than a preacher coming to break the bread of the word of God, you know. They want to hear how they, you know, there was this event in my country where they brought sweets. I think at the library. So they said, we bought these sweets from a certain store where Brother Branham used to buy these sweets. Always he would go and buy that. So, just test, you know, you feel how the prophet, why he loved that sweet. Wow. If Catholics do that, we call it they are idol worshippers. When it's in the message, it's a revelation, right? Well, the testimony was more powerful than what I just read. Let us go to verse 9, Exodus 24, verse 9. Let us all read. Then went up Moses. Are our voices working this morning? Okay, if your voice is working, let's read. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a pathway of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Verse 11. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did it.
Amen.
What a testimony.
Amen.
They saw the manifestation of God.
Amen.
I believe that did something in the life of Nadab and Abihu. In case you don't know, those were children of Aaron.
Aaron.
They, you know, partook of the blessings that came with the ministry of Moses. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the glory of God. But hear me, saints. Like we said yesterday, walking on that sea, every moment counts. It's like when you are driving on the road, you know. I once heard Elder Verem mention this statement that 1 second on the driving wheel is very critical. If you are in high speed, just doze off a little bit. 1 second, you are gone. Now, when you read, when Jesus walked on the water, the Bible says the boat was somewhere in the midst of the sea. That's a sea. That's not a shallow river. That tells you there was a long distance from the shore to the midst where the boat was. It could have been 2 kilometers. It could have been 3, 4, 10 kilometers. But do you realize Jesus walked all the way from the shore to the midst where the boat was? Hey, that was real faith. It was consistent and constant. And faith, you know, it requires oneness of mind, of thought. Right? Now imagine the distance Jesus walked to meet these disciples in the midst of the sea. Peter tried it. One moment, another moment, his faith was able to focus. But then the Bible says, then he saw the winds. That was a sense of sight. But the sense of sight works with the mind. The next step, he couldn't sustain it. He fell in water. And that is why yesterday's victories cannot keep us today. You can't just bank on, you know, I used to do this. You know, I walked with the prophet. You know, I heard the audible voice of God. We praise God for those testimonies. But our walk with the Lord is as critical as Peter was walking on the sea. Let's see how the testimony of Nadab and Abihu ended. It ended in disaster. Let us go to Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. We are looking at battle for the mind. We are looking at how we can stand strong in the grace in walking on the sea.
Amen.
It's good we have seen the revelation.
Yes.
It's good our eyes have been opened.
Yes.
It's good we have true ministries which have been feeding us all these years.
Amen.
But let's not forget the admonition. Be strong.
Amen.
In the grace. Now, Leviticus 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Now, let's explain something there. These young men, it was their work every day to put fire on the altar. It is not man who gave them that ministry. They were called. If I ask you, with all the testimonies we read, can we say they were God called men? Hello? Were they God called men? Was their testimony true?
Yes,
they saw God.
Amen.
They experienced things you and I haven't experienced.
Amen.
But seeing the manifestation of God was not an everyday thing, you know? It's very rare for people to have a ministry like Moses or Brother Brenner. But at least they had a testimony, something they could tell to their children. You know, that day I can never forget.
Amen.
You know, when God does something, it's something you live with in your heart. But along that testimony was a duty.
Yes.
Which they used to do every day.
Yes.
They would wake up,
yes,
take the fire,
yes,
put it on the altar.
Yes.
Every day, routine activity.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's nothing interesting to something routine.
Yes.
Every day, oh, the bell has rung. Let us get this fire. Cause. Oh, it's my duty rota today. I'm supposed to. Now there is a danger to routine.
This was.
You know, when a pillar of fire manifests, it shakes up your senses.
Yes.
You know, this is strange.
Yes.
So even when you were not alert, you want to be alert. But you know, those things don't happen every day. They point us to something. And then we pick responsibility to perform a certain routine of a task. Because of that revelation which came. It's like attending church, you know, every service here and there. It's our routine work. And so Nadab and Abihu were always doing that. But with time, there is a certain casualness which went into that. A certain relaxation. A certain familiarity. Until they felt, I think it's all right. We can light up this fire in this way. Now, you can be so fed up with routine, but God is never fed up. His eye is always watching what you are doing. You can be leading songs every day on the pulpit until you don't even take enough time to prepare in prayer. You've just taken it as a routine activity. That's the danger of routineness. When reverence moves out of it, that is where the mind becomes vulnerable. So let's see what happened to these men who were called. They are the true testimony. The Bible says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
Amen.
Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They didn't die before Satan. They died before the Lord. That needs to sink in us. Because God has done a great work in our day. But we need to know, because of routineness, we can also be dead men, but before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Aaron was their father. He was a human being. He got emotional for what happened. Say, hey, what has happened? And now notice verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake. Say, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I'll be glorified. Now, did you hear that? Moses' mind was always alert. He didn't say, oh, what has happened? Did they prepare the fire right? Moses knew something wrong has happened. And his first word was this. Is what I said. Those who come near the Lord should be sanctified.
Amen.
We need to be aware of that. Those who come near the Lord should be sanctified. Dear brethren, there's no question. We are privileged people. Just like Jesus was able to speak to that Samaritan.
Yes.
You worship what you don't know. Salvation is of the Jews.
Yes.
In the same line, I can say, we've received the message of this day.
Amen.
No doubt about it, we have a testimony.
Yes. Amen.
No doubt about it, we've seen footprints on the sea. We've been able to see something about the blood of Jesus. God has raised ministries in our midst that we can truly attest God has been in our midst. And we rejoice in that. But did you know that our rejoicing should be accompanied with trembling? Let's go to Psalm 2 verse 11. Psalm 2 verse 11.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 2 verse 11. I want us to read it as loud as we can. Psalm 2 verse 11. Shall we read it? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. Rejoice with what?
Praise God.
You are rejoicing in your heart?
Yes.
But with?
This also.
Hey, it's the grace of God. But we must rejoice with? I need to tell you there's a falling away taking place. Afar we can look like a mighty army which is praying, which is in the message. But there is an all-seeing eye which watches. Only God knows how many dead bodies are there before him. We must rejoice but with trembling. We need to serve the Lord with fear. Because our minds could be trapped in routineness, in familiarity, until we don't see the value in that which we have received. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3. You know, the late Brother John Mack, God bless that apostle of faith. When he came to Zambia, he preached a message, redeeming the time. The message was so wonderful, I decided to put it in form of a book. I didn't know how to use modern technologies, which we have known now. But at the time of writing the book, I was playing the message and I would pause it, type exactly, until we managed to publish the book. I encourage you to read it. If you need a copy, I can send it to you free of charge. But listen to that message. By reading it, not just hearing it.
Yes.
In that message, Brother John Mack said,
yes,
this world is in the hands of Satan.
Yes.
The clothes, whatever we see.
Yes.
If you have to use anything in this world, he said, use it by faith.
Yes.
Because in music, the devil is there. On the radio, the devil is there. In these smartphones, there is pollution in all these things. So you need to have a walk of faith as you use these things. We'll talk more about it later on. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3. This is Paul giving a testimony to these believers. And I was with you. In what? In weakness. And in fear. And in much?
Amen.
What kind of a fellowship meeting was this? They were having fellowship. But as they were having that fellowship, they had it in fear. They had it in trembling. Knowing that the grace of God is with us, but handling it with care. Knowing that it's a privilege. But like Nadab and Abihu, if we're not strong in that grace, it can burn us. Philippians 2 verse 12. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Let us read the next words. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
Amen.
Work out your own salvation?
Yes.
Fear and trembling. You know, in the 50s, when Brother Branham used to hit hard against Pentecostals, what they were doing with their hands, all this carnality which went among them. Do you realize when you take the Pentecostal church of the 1950s, it's the message church of today? Did you hear what I said? The things Brother Branham used to hit so hard against of what Pentecostals were doing in the 50s, 40s. It's the picture of the message church today. That's how far we've fallen. But we don't want to speak to discourage each other, knowing that we need to be strong in the grace of God. We want to look at how can we guard against the falling away. How can we guard against the falling away? Because the falling is happening. First, we need to know where the battle is. If war breaks out, the first thing you need to know was the battleground. Where are we fighting from? The battleground is the mind. Let's read 1 Peter 1 verse 13. If you don't like scriptures, you'll be choked this afternoon. 1 Peter 1 verse 13. First Peter 1 verse 13. Wherefore get up the loins of your mind, be sober.
Amen.
And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want us to pay attention.
Yes.
He says, hope to the end.
Amen.
So, footpaths on the sea. We don't want just to take 5 steps. We want to reach where Jesus is. Hope to the end. If you've been in the message for 10 years, wonderful. 20 years, wonderful. But God is not interested in those who turn back. But hope to the end. And what does Peter say? He says, get up the loins of your mind. Do you know how Peter got disarmed and he sank? The battle was in his mind.
Yes.
When we speak of spiritual warfare, many times we think there are principalities in the galaxies out there. In space. The battlefield is right a thought away from you. In you. How do we guard against falling away? Three things we want to encourage each other. We want to speak about, number one, you need to be able to remember the works of God. When God parts that Red Sea and He creates a path for you and you start walking there, let that testimony never slip off your mind. Number two,
yes.
How to guard against the falling away?
Mm-hmm.
Beware of where you are, your environment.
Hallelujah.
Number three,
yes.
Be in the secret place of the Most High. Let us unpack that.
Yes,
remembering the works of God.
Amen. Praise God.
Go to Psalm 77, the first chapter we read. But let us read verse 10 through verse 12. Psalm 77, verse 10 to 12. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High.
Amen.
Yes, I have this challenge I'm going through.
Yes.
But you know what gives you strength in those moments?
Yes.
Is remembering the years, those times when God visited you. That brings the strength.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old.
Amen.
Verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work. And talk of thy doings.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Now, do you realize how he emphasizes remember? He says, I will remember. The right hand of the Lord. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will meditate. All these things are talking about remembering. Remembering is a function of the mind. Remembering is a function of the mind. When God was forming man in the beginning, when he gave him a head, hands, legs, those are not toys. There are resources he gave him on how he needs to live in this world. Even the mind which Satan can use is a resource which was made by God. When used right, it can become a very important resource and a blessing. Can you bring something up for me on the screen there? When we talk about remembering, we're speaking about the mind. Now, when we speak about the mind, we relate it to a part, a resource in our body called the brain. Now, every human being, if you consider yourself a human being, you look like that.
Yes.
You have that resource in your head. It just looks like a sponge. But we remove that thing from you, that won't be good for you. In there is the circuitry, the hardware, which God put in man. And with the help of scientific instruments, science has gone as far as detecting what happens when you are thinking. There are flashes of current that move in there. And not only that, science has gone as far as knowing when you are thinking in terms of mathematics, which parts of the brain become active. When you are walking in a place and you want to know which road leads to Chitungwiza or which leads to or which compound am I in, there is a particular part of the brain which begins to become active. God is so amazing.
Amen.
No wonder the psalmist says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, here is something which was discovered. What you are seeing there are circuits.
Yes.
In case you are scared at what you are looking at, it's right inside you. That thing.
Yes.
So there are these neural circuits.
Yes.
They look like wires here.
Amen.
Now, there's this man, his name was Hebb. He discovered something interesting, you know. When you are trying to remember something, there is a way these electric circuits begin to behave. So, if for example you are learning a keyboard, can I have the keyboardist go there? Well, where's the keyboardist? Where's the pianist? Just go there. Let's say he doesn't know how to play the piano and he's beginning to learn. No, don't go there. You are revealing the seventh seal before it's time. Let's go to the previous one. Now, When you are learning how to play the piano, you know, you the notes you play are discoordinated. So play like you're just learning. Play something which is not well coordinated. No, that sounds good. I want you to play. Yeah, so now he is playing at random. But as he practices that every day, the following day he goes for music lessons. Find GSC. So now, he's done that. Because of what he practiced yesterday, what is happening to the neurons? When the teacher says, no, you've forgotten that letter, do it right. They connect.
Yes.
Then information passes through, it has a path.
Yes, yes, yes.
When he knocks off, he starts doing other things. Because the connection is not strong, they pull apart again.
Yes.
The following day comes again, teacher tells him, can you play that? Pretend like you are having hard times. So he's messing it up. He can't remember. Do it right now. So now they've connected again. Information is able to pass.
Yes.
Now this man, Heb, was able to discover by observation and scientific research that the more you do it, keep on playing the same notes, brother. Keep on doing the same thing. The more he does that,
yes,
the more information is passing through.
Yes.
Passing through those neurons,
yes,
until they thicken, they engrave a path.
Yes.
In so much that,
yes,
even when he's not thinking, he can play. And people will be clapping. They say, hey, it looks like he has memory in his fingers. What has happened is he has practiced it long enough until there are physical pathways which have been engraved in the brain. So now, that is what we call memory.
Yes.
So there's something which was discovered.
Yeah.
That now, can we go to the video? This is a real video. You click that link. This is a real video where they were able to capture a real neuron trying to wire with another neuron. Take us to that video. These are amazing works of God. So they were able to capture this.
Yes.
Those are two neurons.
Yes.
That is Sekulu Verem trying to remember where he put his car keys the first time. The next time again he's looking for them, he has forgotten.
Yes.
The third time he's trying to remember. You know, there is still no memory, good memory. Another time, until they wire together.
Amen.
That's the time now he's able to go and pick the keys where he left. Let's give God a clap of it. That's just amazing.
Amen.
So, this is now a neuropath. It means now you've reached a place you can't forget what you were doing. Those are times now, if you don't practice the keyboard, you don't feel good. You just want to go there. You've become used to that. Science has revealed that there's actually a change in your physical brain which has happened. That's amazing.
Yes.
Now listen to Hebb's law. So this man, this scientist said, neurons that fire together, wire together. That's Hebb's law. And they've been able to establish that repetition of an activity leads to a physical change of the brain. With each recurrence, cell to cell signaling improves and the neural connections, they tighten. Now, here is some research which was done. They started checking the brains of mathematicians. They noticed something.
Yes.
When they looked at the part of the brain called the cerebellum, these experts, they said the cerebellum, the gray matter. For those who like doing calculations,
yes.
As they continue doing calculations,
yes.
A part of the brain called gray matter begins to thicken.
Right.
And those who've stayed at a university for many years,
yes.
The longer they've stayed at a university solving mathematical problems, the thicker the gray matter is. Those who are just new entrants, it's not as thick. But the same people, as they continue in their career, the gray matter is thicker. Because gray matter is the part of the brain in charge of calculations. They went to do more research.
Yes.
They went to the cerebellum.
Right.
That's the part of the brain in charge of physical movement.
Yes.
Like doing that on the keyboard. That's physical movement.
Yes.
So they started investigating those who do guitar.
Yes. Yes.
Those who play guitar, they do finger movements.
Yes. Yes.
So they discovered that musicians, their cerebellum is thicker. So before I start music, my cerebellum is not thick. But as I do music every time, learning the musical scales and movements, it becomes thicker. So they knew that, when you do activity, the part of the brain, the neurons, they form those pathways and they harden. Then they said, okay. That was now in London. They went to the part of the brain called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is that part of the brain which works like a GPS in you. It is the one which is telling me right now that this is not Zambia, this is not Lusaka, this is Chitungwiza. The first time I came here, I was wondering what's the way to the home, but now I know. Even without escort, I know how to move out of this farm, I know how to go to my bedroom which they gave me. So whenever that is happening, the hippocampus is getting active. Can you imagine, before GPS was discovered, God put it in your brain. Now, here is something interesting. They discovered that taxi drivers, their hippocampus is thicker. Because taxi men, they know all places of Chitungwiza, Harare. You just tell them, take me to Mugabe Road, it will take you there. I don't know if you have Mugabe Road. You know, they know every corner. So, the hippocampus is strong. But here is what they discovered in London. That when someone retired from being a taxi driver, their hippocampus started shrinking. They forget places because they retired. That's quite interesting. What does this inform us? Let's go to Deuteronomy. You know what it informs us.
Amen.
That mind, which uses the brain as an avenue, it's a resource. It's a tool. What you feed it is what will be engraved and printed on that.
Amen.
Now, let us go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. The children of Israel, they saw the pillar of fire. They saw all the wonderful manifestations. But that was not enough. God knew that I put that mind and that brain in you for a purpose. And so he gave them this instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Amen.
And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart.
Amen.
Now listen, verse 7.
Yes.
Verse 7.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children.
Uh-huh.
And shalt talk of them.
Amen.
When thou sittest in thine house.
Amen.
And when thou walkest by the way.
Amen.
And when thou liest down.
Amen.
And when thou risest up.
Amen.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand.
So what?
And there shall be a frontlet between thine eyes.
Amen.
And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
Hallelujah.
Why such an instruction? Why such an instruction? The mind works by what you constantly feed it. What you constantly feed it. Let me share with you another research.
Yes.
This is coming from the world. These researchers is not believers. It's worldly people.
Yes.
They started investigating people who seem to be very disciplined. People who seem to keep their families well. They seem to be disciplined and they live a decent life. So they started doing research. And they had a very interesting discovery. And this is what was said. It actually has little to do with a person's ability. It's not really like one person is more gifted with being disciplined than another. They said, no. They said, we've discovered that it's more about where, what kind of an environment the person spends most time in. You see that?
Hallelujah.
What environment one stays in. Because this thing we've talked about, the mind, it can only remember what you feed it. So now the word was given to Israel. This supernatural word you've been given, talk about it when you sit down. Talk about it when you wake up. Write it on your walls. Why that instruction? Because the mind has to be reminded of that. That's why the psalmist said, I shall remember the works of the Lord. God said to Joshua, meditate upon this word day and night. Sometimes you find certain believers are strong, victorious. Brother Branham says, it's not a gift. Victory. It's not like one person is more gifted with victory. Check to what is your mind dedicated to. Let me speak to the young people. Because these problems happen in our midst. You find a young man is troubled with lust. So pray for me, Pastor. I always have these bad thoughts. No. Wrong thoughts. You don't need someone to start casting out, I command you, spirit of lust, come out. And no. When you are in warfare, you need to know when to use an atomic bomb, you need to know when to use a gun, and you also need to know when just to hide. When Joseph started seeing how Potiphar's wife started behaving in that room, he didn't take the Bible and say, you know, the word of God says. He did not start Bible study with Potiphar's wife. He knew the results to this is, I think I'm in a wrong environment. Yeah. He ran away from that. Now, let us look at one case study. Let's go to the next of that far. For this part of the lesson, I want us to look at what happened during the Vietnam War. How many have heard about the Vietnam War? Okay. So you see, my bald head also has a little meaning to read now. I've read some history. Okay, now, this war I think started in the 70s. It was a war between North Vietnam and South Vietnam. This country got divided. The northern part was supported by the Soviet Union and China. The southern part was supported by the USA. So although it was looking like it's North Vietnam fighting with the South Vietnam, it was actually a proxy war. Big powers were fighting.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly what is happening on your mind. Forces of darkness and forces of light, they are battling for our minds.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Now, look here.
Yes.
The USA had more resources. More powerful soldiers. Talk of money, they had it.
Yes.
But who won that war? The communist forces won that war. At the end of it, North and South Vietnam got united under communist rule.
North and South Vietnam.
When you look at the statistics of the terrible things which happened, let's go to the next. Look at casualties. Casualties of the Vietnam War. Estimates suggest 970,000 to 3 million Vietnamese soldiers and civilians were killed, along with 58,220 U.S. service members. What were the key outcomes? Reunification. North and South Vietnam were reunited under communist rule. What we are reading there can be a life outcome of some believers. A believer who was once on fire, holding and believing the message. When you watch the mind, even the force of light has moved away. It's all under communist rule. The battle has been won. And then you wonder, you say, but there was a mighty army there which was powerful. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit. What happened? What happened? America had all the tools, all the resources. But it's not always the resources, how much resources you have, that wins a war. It's not always about how powerful the machinery is. Remember one of the mighty men of David?
Yes.
He was able to see that, I think he was an Egyptian. He had a sword in his hands.
Right.
But he was killed by a man with a stick.
Right.
So it's not about how powerful the sword is. It's about the hand holding the sword. How much skill does it have? Right?
Yes.
So, oh, this believer was strong. He was powerful. He used to be prayerful. How did he fall in fornication, adultery? It's not about how powerful the message is. It's how guarded your mind is. What is going on there? Here was a shocking revelation. Two U.S. congressmen, they decided to research what is going on with our soldiers. Why is this happening? And when the United States public received the news of the research findings, they were shocked. It was discovered that 15% of American soldiers were heroin addicts. They got addicted to heroin. 15% of soldiers, 35% of servicemen,
15%
we are partaking of heroin. Now, here is what was damaging. Let us go to the next map. Now, okay, I think I gave him a file which doesn't show the map. No. Just go back there, brother. I wanted to show you what they call the Golden Triangle between Vietnam, I think Thailand, There is a lucrative business which started booming of selling heroin to US soldiers. Lucrative business.
Yes.
Ah, the Golden Triangle. So American soldiers, what America knows is our soldiers are fighting. But the Vietnam community and the businessmen there, they found good business. These soldiers were buying the heroin. American government supplying the guns, supplying the weapons. These guys are taking opium. They've gotten addicted. Wow. So what do the angels say? We've given them the message. They are playing the tape. They are hearing. But oh my, there's something else the devil is doing. There's social media.
Yes, Lord.
Watching rubbish.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One entertainment after another.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You tune to the radio, there is gospel.
Yes.
But everything in that gospel is worldly. Except there is a spice of a hallelujah in it. And another ingredient and tomato ketchup of Jesus. And then you say, oh, it is gospel. There is hallelujah in it. When you look at it, it is heroin.
Praise the Lord.
You tune in to listen to a preaching. It's a prosperity gospel.
Yes.
Until you have message believers who've bought in into that Tommy Rot.
Yes.
They've brought in prosperity message in the message.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Until they've brought in charismaticism.
Yes.
If the prophet was seeing what was going on, that vision he had would recall. When he saw the preview of the bride, he says he saw them, you know, dancing orderly. Until at the end of the line, says there were 2-3 who were marching out of step. What is happening? It's the influences of the modern world. Now, why were these soldiers buying this heroin? Let's read what heroin does to the mind. Let's go to the next one. Now, effects of heroin. Once the heroin enters the brain, it is converted to morphine and binds rapidly to opioid receptors. People who use heroin typically report feeling a surge of pleasurable sensations. It feels good. Like something good is happening in you. They call that a rush. The intensity of the rush is a function of how much drug is taken. How rapidly the drug enters the brain. That's where it's targeted. Goes to the brain. Now, look at the end paragraph here. After the initial effects, let me just read that. Because yesterday there was a complaint. The message was too short and I said I took note of that. The concern was noted. Okay, so with heroin, the rush is usually accompanied by a warm flushing of the skin, dry mouth, and a heavy feeling in the extremities. Nausea, vomiting, and severe itching may also occur. Do you know that no matter how pleasurable sin is, when you get into it, it brings more sadness and bad side effects. The joy you used to have with your wife collapses. As the pleasure comes in, the devil blinds you to the actual damage that is happening. The joy you had in the Lord goes. No matter how you try to pretend, it simply has left you. After the initial effects, users usually will be drowsy for several hours.
Yes.
Mental function is clouded.
Yes.
Heart functions slows.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing is also severely slowed. Slowed breathing can also lead to coma and permanent brain damage. I pray none of us reach the state of permanent brain damage. That's what can happen. When a mind which is filled with the word of God gets overtaken by forces of darkness. Listen to me, dear brother and sister. Spiritual warfare targets your mind. And the battle is not very dramatic, like firings are happening and there are bombs are happening. No. It starts with a very simple thought process. Number one, the devil will make you forget who you are. That's always his first line of attack. When he came to Jesus, he says, "Are you truly the Son of God? If you are, that is questioning your identity of who you are." And once you say, "Am I really a child of God? The way this habit is following me, I think I'm not a child of God." Once your identity is disarmed, you are fallen. Is that right? One day, Brother Branham woke up. He sat on the bed. Then he says he saw a devil, a demon. It was in the corner of the room. And he said it looked like an ape, you know. A monkey like a human being. Then he says it was speaking. Then he was amused. He says, "Whoa, what kind of a creature is this?" So he started waking up his wife to see what he was saying. But he says she was fast asleep. Then he says, "Anyway, let me leave her, because if she sees this, she'll be scared." So he wanted to hear what it was speaking. Do you know what it was speaking? He says, "You are just bluffing. You are nothing. God is not with you. There's nothing. You don't even have the power of God. Those things you tell people, you don't have the power of God." Can you imagine? This is Brother Branham who saw the pillar of fire. This is Brother Branham who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me, child of God. The devil won't give up on you simply because of how powerful your testimony is. He still wants you to doubt who you are. Once you let down that God, I don't care how powerful your testimony is, if he can cut down your feet, you'll be afraid of your own shadow. You will question your testimony. When that happens, the battle is lost. When Brother Branham heard those words, you know what he said? He said, "Satan, you are an offense to me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get away from this place." And Brother Branham says the devil disappeared. He fled. And in the same moment, he says, then the Holy Spirit came. The presence of God came. And he says, a voice spoke in the room. Says, "I am always with you.
Hallelujah.
Go wherever you have to go. I am with you."
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Can I tell you something? You and I are not gifted as Brother Branham. But I can tell you this. What Brother Branham experienced, we all experience it. The difference is, we don't have eyes to see. We think it is our own thoughts. But he had the privilege to see what was speaking to him. And instead of yielding to that thought process, he was able to keep a guard to his mind. He said, "Satan, you are an offense to me. Get away from from the Spirit. And when the presence of God came, it spoke the opposite to what the devil had spoken. But if he didn't have that guard on his mind, if he did not remember the work of God on his life, he would have doubted himself. He would have given the battle to Satan. Let me read this testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, the prophet was preaching. I mean, it was time of prayer. Calling the prayer line. And they started singing a song, I love him, because he first loved me. Then suddenly, Brother Branham interrupted the song. And this is what he said. He was seeing a vision. All he said through the microphone was, the devil is lying to you, boy. You've only got a phobia. He's lying to you. He'll drive you insane if you believe him. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to renounce the devil and accept Jesus Christ as your healer. You go back a real man. That's all he said. He was seeing a vision. That's what he said. And everyone was wondering. Okay, but well, they knew he used to see visions. And after I said that, the song continued playing. Later on, as they were having these campaigns, he went to a place to have a meal. Then there are two men who walked in. One was a soldier. So the friend to that soldier came to speak to Brother Branham. Hello, Brother Branham. So Brother Branham was wondering, do I know you? Says, no, we attended the meeting yesterday. Says, you talked about a soldier. That's him. He's been wanting to commit suicide. So Brother Branham went to that soldier. He wanted to talk to him so that he could contact his spirit, you know. So he talked to that soldier a few minutes. And then, but this is what he said. Son, always remember that Jesus Christ died to save you from your sins. So Brother Brown kept speaking, and then a vision broke. He says, I see you have a lovely Christian wife and two little children, but you've developed a crippling mental complex. Brethren, we are speaking about the mind in this service. And I want us to watch those words. And he says, you've developed a what? A crippling what? Mental. Do you know what a crippling mental complex is? It's where a certain thread of thoughts begin to go through those neurons you watched. And they take away your zeal. Before you realize, you feel so discouraged. And instead of taking certain action, you find that you feel crippled. You feel like you can't do anything about it. Maybe you wanted to pray, but you just feel crippled. And Brother Branham tells this man, you've developed a crippling mental complex. Some people have gone in a state of depression because of that. And then he continued speaking under inspiration. He said, that has caused you to commit homosexual acts with young men. At that moment, the soldier's face brightened. Because his sin was revealed. He says, you've been committing homosexual acts with young boys. Now, I want you to connect what God revealed to him here and connect it with what he said when he spoke through the microphone to that soldier. So God was concerned about that soldier. But listen to the message which came when he spoke on the pulpit. He said, "The devil is lying to you, boy. You've only got a phobia. He is lying to you. He will drive you insane if you believe it." You know, there are a lot of young people today in America who are into LGBT, homosexuality, and they say, "This is how I am." What did that voice say? The devil is lying to you. And he'll drive you insane if you believe him. What do we learn from that? Satan can throw a thought at you. But you still have power. You can reject it,
yes,
or you can believe it.
Amen.
And that voice under inspiration said, "You go insane if you believe it."
Amen.
And that is what the scripture means in Peter when it says, "Get up the loins of your mind. Watch what is coming your way." Because in this world now, there are many things calling your attention from social media, from this, from that. But you need to have a guard on your mind. That's the reason why we have these meetings. That is why Sunday we need to be here. When is there? We need, I don't know your prayer meetings here. You know, when Brother John Mark visited us, he said, "Brother Piri, you need to be meeting for prayer meetings every day. Don't just meet Sunday. After a long day, you meet on another." He says, "It's not good. People need to meet those who can every day. You have to be in fellowship, breaking bread every day. It's an important guard to the mind of the people." So I may not feel like it. I may feel tired. The church may be far, but I have a responsibility to guard my mind by taking it to church. When I'm listening to music in the radio, I put a message playing there. I put last Sunday's sermon playing there. What am I doing? There's a resource there. But the way you have to eat right in order to be healthy, the way you avoid alcohol, the way you avoid cigarette, that physical thing also, you need to possess it. Eh? The scripture says, "Possess your vessel."
Yes.
Right? Paul was telling them, you know, don't be in fornication. You need to possess your vessels in sanctification. One important vessel you have is the mind.
Yes.
Now, back to the soldiers. Here is something which was discovered. When those two congressmen brought this shocking statistics to the American public,
yes,
the then president of America, President Nixon,
yes,
he formed what was known as the Special Action Office of Drug Abuse Prevention.
Yes.
They formed a task force to stop this problem. Now, here is what happened. When some soldiers were taken back home, they started observing their lives. Some of them didn't know, but they were being observed. At that time, let me mention this. The prevailing view in psychology and in medical science was that when someone takes heroin, it causes permanent damage and addiction. It can't come out. But then, this researcher, Lee Robbins, his name, for those who want to read further, as they observed these soldiers who returned, they discovered something. There was a sudden change of behavior when these men were in a new environment. So they said, how come they've suddenly stopped the heroin addiction by being found in a new environment? They say, this appends, you know, it puts upside down all research works. All these men we are tracking, they no longer buy heroin. They seem to have overcome the addiction overnight. So a new research Pepper was released to say it is possible for an addiction to stop even overnight by a radical change of environment. Now you should see the importance why Paul said, do not give up the habit of meeting together. So the second way to guard against falling away is you need to beware. Where are you? How is your environment like?
Yes.
You find most young people who struggle with certain lust, bad thoughts, just look at the kind of things you look at many times on the computer, what kind of friends and things you talk about. Your environment has a direct impact on you. I can guarantee you, spend time with people whose prayer life is their lifestyle. When they gather together, they talk about the Holy Ghost. When they gather together, they talk about, when are we going to have a prayer and fasting meeting? Someone said, you are an average of five people you hang around with. You can't always hang around gossipers and you're not a gossiper. You can't hang around people, you know, who always... they have a filthy lifestyle and somehow you are just clean. It can never be. The way God has designed things, what you output is the kind of environment you are in. Let's read Psalm chapter 1. I want us to observe the tree in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Amen.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
In his law, he does what? Meditates what? Day
and night.
When you read about Martin Luther, the reformer, he was in the habit of memorizing entire chapters of the Bible, the Psalms. And he encouraged his followers to do that. John Wesley also started doing the same by reading Luther. He would read scriptures and memorize. To put it in his prayer.
Amen.
Why were these messengers doing that? In Israel, children will be taught to recite the Psalms.
Amen.
That's what Moses taught them. But you are even at a higher level. Because the Holy Ghost now dwells in you. Praise the Lord. Now, look at this tree. Let's read verse 3, all of us. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
If you notice, this tree is fruitful,
yes,
not by what it is, but by where it is. Where is it? By the rivers of water. That's how impactful an environment is. But if you take a seed of mango, no matter how much potential it has, if you put it here on a dry place, You can even decorate it.
Yes.
No matter how nice it is.
Yes.
That's not the environment it's meant. All its potentials will just be dormant. But take it in the soil with moisture, with water. Suddenly, all those particles which were standing still, they start getting excited. Life manifests. There is something God has put in you. But be in the right environment. And something will manifest out of you. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift which is in you. He didn't say look out for a gift. There was already something in Timothy. But even a powerful gift, if there is no steering of prayer, steering of spiritual activity, you think there's nothing. It's like when you take sugar and you put it in a very cold water, the sediments will just sink to the bottom. You can even test that water. You won't test any sweetness. But Paul says what? Steer up that gift which is in you.
Yes, Lord.
And then a brother whom we thought was not gifted, something will come up. You know, at one time, Brother Nzima thought his gift was sitting in the church. And only saying hallelujah. Amen. But he could see that we were busy with ministry work and somehow he wasn't participating. I would be uploading daily devotion. Immediately after preaching, I need to do this, I need to do that. One day he walked in the room, he says, no sir, it can't continue like this.
He
says, I need to do something. Say, really? You're not just excited? Yes. No. I need to do something. I'll spend this weekend in Rufunsa. Say, oh, if you feel that conviction on your heart, brother, there's a lot of work, but few laborers. That's how he started the field work. So now it's been testimony after another. So I prayed for a person, I felt something coming out of me, and the person got healed.
Yes.
Look, God does not put fuel in a car which is packed.
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! You want to guard against the falling away? Don't be a cold charcoal and you are packed with cold charcoal again. Look out in the congregation. Which people have prayer? Which people are always there to clean the church, to do this and that? You don't need to apply or write an application letter. Just be there. If you hear believers are gathering for prayer, be there. And you will be strong in the grace. Praise the Lord. So beware of your environment. Beware of your environment. Can I share another testimony of Brother Branham? He prayed for this young lady. She used to be in discos. She used to dance and do this singing. Those were the early years, you know, of Brother Branham. Prayed for her. She got delivered. Then one day she was with her Bible, walking. Then she saw the place which she used to go. Music was playing. Now, you know where the mind is. Those pathways. If there's a song you used to enjoy, information can still find its way there. It can still be triggered, bringing those memories. That is why Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's your responsibility for those pathways to be always filled with right information. Because the brain is just a hardware. It accepts what flows through it. So this sister, You know, she's walking.
I found her.
Filled with the goodness of the Lord.
Oh,
then she says, oh, she looked at that building. Heard the music. She says, won't it be good I just pass through and just greet them? You know, when the devil wants to deceive you, if you love the Bible, he comes with a Bible. He says, after all, you can invite them for church. It looks like a very harmless activity. It looks like a good thing. But it's not every good thing which is a right thing, child of God. She says, let me go there. What she didn't know, something was firing in those neurons. Something was caught back of her past experience. And she entered that building, you know. She says, before she realized it, someone says, oh, Martha, a man hugged her. Oh, it's been long. And then she felt different. Says, no, I think I need to go. I need to go. She left and she says she wasn't feeling good. So she rushed to where Brother Branham was. There she was, knocking on the door. Brother Branham, pray for me. She said, what happened?
She
says, you know, this that happened. So Brother Branham started praying for her. And he says, an evil spirit came out of her like a very ugly bird flying. It even scared him because it started flying where he was. And Brother Branham could only scream, blood of Jesus! And then the thing fell on the bird and disappeared there. Something to learn about that. Something to learn about power of an environment.
Yes.
If that sister was not alert enough to say, I need prayer, the story would have just ended up to say, when I went there, I didn't feel good. Not knowing, a wrong spirit entered her.
Yes.
Friends, we need to walk circumspectly.
Amen. Amen.
Like Brother John Mark said, this world is in the hands of Satan.
Yes.
The corners, the places.
Yes.
We need to walk filled with the word of God in our minds. Reading the Bible when you wake up. Bringing your family together, praying together.
Yes.
Hey, you need to come to my home when it is Sunday.
Yes.
It looks like a war zone. I wake up the boys, can you get up, do things quickly?
Yes.
It's church time.
Yes.
I don't want them to do things quickly when they're going to school. When it is church, they're doing things at their own pace.
Yes. Yes.
No, put it in your children, the importance of coming to church early.
Yes.
I rebuke them, you need to attend intercession.
Yes.
I give them an ultimatum. When it is 8:30, you are not yet done, I'm locking the house and you go in the state you are. So now they've known.
Yes.
It looks very unfair to them. But we are living in a war zone.
Sure.
If we feel we don't need to force them, one day it's the world which will cripple them. When it's prayer, they need to be there.
Yes.
Why? It's a battlefield. One day they won't depart from that way. That's about the environment.
Yes.
Number three, and as we are closing, be in the secret place of the Most High.
Yes.
You can read Psalm 91 in your own time. It's good to gather like this.
Yes.
But whatever you have to do, do this.
Yes.
Have a personal time with God.
Yes.
Here is Simon. Find time to listen to it again when you are alone. In prayer.
Yes.
Reading the Bible alone.
Yes.
Have a personal walk with God.
Amen.
Develop that intimacy with Him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Because when He comes,
yes,
He's not coming to take strangers.
Yes.
He's coming to take people He knows.
Yeah.
That is why the other bunch was saying, we casted out devils, we did good works.
He
says, I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't know you. We are a crowd here. But does Jesus know you personally? Do you know his voice when he speaks? Are you able to say, the Lord is speaking to me?
And
say, I'm not supposed to do it.
Praise the
Lord. If you don't know his voice now, will you hear it that day when it sounds? Let's have a personal walk with God. Let us read the last scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Let's stand as we are reading this. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 to 5. Friends, God has given us grace, but we need to be strong in that grace. Grace has been given to us, but we live in warfare. And Apostle Paul admonishes us in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 to 5. Shall we read together? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hold there, hold there. What are these strongholds?
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
When you go to a charismatic church, they'll tell you strongholds are devils,
Satanists.
They will tell you how to get in an egg, as we heard yesterday. They will tell you under the sea. That's how they make warfare. Hear me, it's not sophisticated. It is right around your mind. Verse 5, shall we read? Casting down imagination. What there? Are you listening to the strongholds we're dealing with? Imaginations. That's what we're dealing with. The prophet says, when he is discerning, when someone is struggling, maybe he's in a prayer line and they're having difficulties to believe. Do you remember what Brother Branham says, how he would see that? He says, I see it like a dark shadow, a cloud, hovering someone's mind. Then I would know that he's struggling to have faith. Imaginations are not just firings of circuits. It can be a spirit forming around your mind. That is why Jesus taught Peter. Satan wants to sift your mind. I can see Satan wanting to capture your mind, but I've prayed for you. That's real warfare, brethren. Let's read verse 5 again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, hold there. As you listen to your radio, as you watch your TV, as you use your phone, be able to see what thing is trying to cast down the knowledge of God in your mind. Be able to detect and have that discernment. Bringing into captivity, shall we read that? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are thoughts in you. They try to rush through those neural circuits. It's your responsibility to arrest every thought and bring it under the subjection of the word of God. When you are feeling discouraged because of what someone said about you, because of certain things which are happening, the devil telling you, you know, you're not a child of God, you should be able to stand up like Brother Branham did. It's a certain you are an offense to me. I am a child of God, washed by the blood of Jesus. Get out of my way. You should be able to do that. When you see that, be able to play a sermon, music, go in worship, and you will be able to win the battle of the mind. What's the battle of the mind? It's a warfare between imaginations and the knowledge of God. What are we supposed to do? Remember the works of God.
Amen.
Whenever you're going through valleys, don't think about those challenges. Remember the testimony of God in your life. Remember where He has brought you from. When you think on those things, strength will start building. There is a point, surely, in your life where you said, that was God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then you start praying and you start rejoicing. Number two, beware of your environment. Be able to discern. Is this atmosphere right for me? You are a young man, you are in university, you are at your workplace. People speak a joke about spiritual things and you are there laughing also. You should be able to know that, no, this is not for me. This is not my environment. And be in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
Jesus, when He performs a miracle, people are excited. He always, at the moment, the Bible says, He withdrew Himself and He was alone in prayer. Our strength is on our knees in prayer. Shall we close our eyes? Let us pray for strength in the grace of God. God has been so wonderful to us.
Yes.
He took us from the world. And we are standing here, not in Chintungwiza, but in heavenly places with Christ. That's the grace of God to you. If you think God doesn't love you, I want you to know this word coming to you is the love of God to you. Reminding you, you are more than a conqueror. Whatever you are struggling with, I want to remind you, you are more than a conqueror. Just remember the work of God in your life. Remember the environment you are supposed to be in. What is that environment? The secret place of the Most High. Let us all pray for the body of Christ. Pray for another person. And pray for yourself. That Lord give us strength in this walk of grace. That our testimony may not end up like Nadab and Abihu. That as we walk on the water, we may not miss the next step. By looking at the boisterous winds of the world. Shall we all pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your mercies which are new every morning. We are so thankful for the abundance of your grace which thou, Lord, has revealed. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God are we here. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us in all areas where, Lord, our lives haven't brought glory to your name. We know you've given us your grace. Give us strength in this walk. That we may not just make one step and two steps, but that we may walk all the way with Jesus from one shore to the other. In the name of Jesus. I pray for every brother who's been discouraged, who's been oppressed, whom Satan has tried to lie to, let them know they're more than conquerors in the name, the glorious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once
was blind, but now I see. Was great, the
God speaks to us.
He goes into our life. He goes into our being to bring us to that perfection whereby we are acceptable before God. Amen.
Amen.
We have just been taught that all that, you know, is us. It's not so much of the outside, but what is inside. And the outside is the result of the inside. So the devil just fights us right in our mind. Amen. You know, this last week, we were speaking about that environment, and I'm just happy it has now just been brought into, you know, the right light. As much as God had blessed
Noah,
as much as Noah was saved from the flood, but in chapter 8 of the book of Genesis, the Bible says, then God remembered Noah. But for him to be saved, God had remembered him. But yet when he was in that ark, he could not accomplish the purpose of God. When God saved him, he wanted him to replenish the earth. In the ark, that could not happen. He had to be in the right environment. Like we've been shown Psalm 1. It is that environment that God works through. You know, God doesn't work from emptiness. Even Brother Bram told us, when we come to God, we don't come with a blank mind. The devil will fill you. Can you see? You must come with that determination and that purpose. Amen.
Amen.
It's the environment.
In around.
Amen.
Amen.
That has to do with you. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's not just something that, you know, just mysteriously just comes. It's how you present yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Your mind must be set on the right thing at the right time. That's why John had to be in the spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day for him to be able to see what he was supposed to see. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God. Amen. As he said about that girl who went into that disco place. You know, let's be educated in the things of God. Amen.
Amen.
We have the right mind. You know, I always, you know, talk about, you know, these young girls who are going to school. And young boys. You know, there's a reason why those educationists thought that children in school must wear uniform. Do you know America has phased that out? There's no more uniform. Why uniform?
No, that way good family mind.
I always tell these young girls.
Do not grant you the scanner.
When you are at school,
can I work with school?
Dress as a student. Your hair must tell you are a student. Can you see that? Don't compete with the teachers, yourselves, you know. They are already there now. Be a student. Dress like a student. But the problem of it is, you know what? The devil will give you a book. Where somebody will say, I married my high school girlfriend. See, so it can be. I can have my boyfriend when I'm 14 at school and then later on we'll marry. I was young. But now I'm old. I know better. Many suicides have happened because of this high school friendship. Where are you rushing to? Why didn't you have a boyfriend when you were 1 year old? It was not time. Even at 14, it's not yet time. If you overcame for these 14 years, a few years now are ahead of you. Why don't you overcome that? But what is the problem with these, our young children? The prophet says it's no longer juvenile delinquency. But it is adult delinquency. Parent delinquency. We just push these young ones into these things. Here is a little girl who is 2 years old. You dress her like a prostitute. You do her hair like a prostitute. There's a haircut for children. Why do you want to take a 2 year old and put her into a 25 year old environment? The brother was saying, I push my children. Let's go to church. Can you see? Why do you push your children into the wrong things? Let them be children. What's wrong with being a child? What's wrong in dressing like a child? You know, these spirits, they set a stage. When the devil wanted to conquer the world, he set up that Los Angeles. Those, Paris, London. That's where the actors are. Do you know an actor? And those actresses? They don't do what is real. They just act. Have you ever seen the film of Jesus? That very man who is acting Jesus, the next day he will be acting another character. Through the gangster killing people. Can you see? But he was acting Jesus. Until when you watch that film, you even repent of your sins. But he's only an actor. And you cannot get true life from an actor. Can you see that? But they have an impact upon the lives of people. Can you see that? And how do they do it? You know, when we were young, there was Elvis Presley. He's the one who introduced rock and roll music. When we were young, there were Beatles.
The Beatles
who came from Liverpool. The way they dressed themselves. The way they did their hair. What was that for? To captivate. Until there was a beetle shoe. There was a beetle trousers. So was it also with Elvis Presley. So that these spirits from hell can get a hold of the people. Can you see that? They are introduced into the wrong dressing and all these funny haircuts we have today and all these hairstyles we are doing to our children. Let children be children. Why do you want them to be adults when they are children? Let children be children. Is that right? Don't force these evil spirits upon them. Until they'll come to the understanding, I'm beautiful. And they've got a feeling that I'm beautiful. What is a woman beautiful for? Do you think it's for another woman? When the servant of Abraham was at the well, he saw a girl coming. What does the Bible say? She was beautiful. What was he looking for? A wife for Isaac. Can you see? He could recognize the beauty.
Why kona kuona kunaka?
You know Rachel?
Unoziva Rachel.
And her sister Leah.
Anzadzi yake Lia.
Jacobo. Looked at Rachel.
Wakao tarira kuna Rachel.
And she was beautiful.
Waiva wakanaka.
For what?
Nokuda kwei.
What is beauty associated with? Even the Bible says the woman is the glory of the man. Isn't that so? So we are driving this, you know, to have that sense and feeling of beauty. And beauty is an attraction to the opposite sex. To the man, okay. Is that right? So let children be children. Let men be men. Amen.
Amen.
That's why Paul addresses, even John addresses these people in their categories.
George Konzero, Johanna, and Chisa, and our Mabandikwavu.
I speak to you, old men. Because you have knowledge. I speak to you, young men. Because you have the strength. Is that right? At whatever level we get to, we are to be in that level. And God deals with us with the same. Don't invite the wrong spirits on you. Can you see? How do we call these things? We bring them to us by the way we present ourselves. Is that right? You know, in this our day, there are prostitutes who stand on the road at night. They don't stand there with a head scarf on their head, with a long dress, even with that wrapping cloth. Can they do that? If they do that, they won't get any customer. But they must dress right, so that they can get what they want. So the same with us. We present ourselves in the right way.
Amen.
We'll get the right thing.
Amen.
So what is that to do with our worshiping God? Doesn't Paul say, because of the angels, when we gather together, let the women have their heads covered. Isn't scripture? Can you see that? It has to do with our everyday life, that they may dress modestly. Yes. Because the first thing that God did in Eden, when sin came, God dressed Adam and Eve. So our dressing has much to do with our Christianity. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. As the preacher said, what Brother Branham was fighting against among the Pentecostals, is now the standard for us who say we believe the message. If you don't do that, you are backward. But we want to thank God that there are still young men who are standing on that and preaching it. Like Peter said, it was revealed to me that I'm going soon. But in the meantime, I want to remind you. Is that right? One thing for sure, we are going. Watch, this is coming. Watch, this is coming. Amen.
Amen.
How should we stand and how will we stand? Someone abstain from all those who practice the wrong things. And be established in the waters of the revelation of the word. Can you see that? Every movement, it comes with its inspiration, its dressing, its language. You see? So let's remain in the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
That it may be good with us.
Amen.
Amen. We just thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Now can you see?
Science.
As much as it tries to disprove God. But it is the very, you know, thing that is confirming the reality of God. Amen.
Amen.
When we look at it, as it was expounded, now the scientist can say truly, the Lord is God.
Amen.
Amen. God is just showing us these nuggets. That we may be established there.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to believe we have come to have this time of fellowship. So, time is not a factor. Amen.
Amen.
We just want to keep on feeding from the word of God.
Amen.
As we look at our life. Now, my brother, my sister, what is your standing before God? When you look at what God has shown us, what do you think of yourself? Don't you think you should give your life to God? Don't you think you should commit your spirit to God? Don't you think you need a closer walk with God? Don't you think you want to take away all the world from you? And you serve God in the purity of your spirit. And your mind being subjected to the leadership and inspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you give your life to God? God has made you to hear what you've heard. God has shown you what you have seen. What do you think of your life? What do you think of your being? Because remember one day, I'm not trying to frighten you, but you are going to stand before the Almighty God and answer for your life. But as the sermon was pointing us to, we were given this great thing, which is the grace of God. Don't let this grace pass. No matter what you have done, no matter how much you have, how you lived before, accept this grace. God has given you this grace. And I pray that you receive it. And you be blessed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We've come to the conclusion of this session. And I just want to leave it to those who are responsible for the next session.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
This was wonderful.